The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DK Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Nothing but football. Football on the show all day today. NFL first hour. We'll get some college football, both from Chris Velika, the Bear, from Fox Sports, and, of course, the analytics side of things with Dr. Bob. First, though, I really should say we bring in Kelly Bidlin because he and JBT have clearly frantically been texting all morning about your Canada FIBA loss. You okay?
That was a tough beat, man. Yeah. I watched absolutely 0 seconds of it because it was at 1:30 tip time, our time, Pacific time.
Well, don't look now, but the USA's in trouble.
They are, although they're cutting into the deficit. 86-80, Germany leads 146 left in the third quarter.
Kelly will have updates all morning long.
I don't care anymore. Canada went down. Let's go to NFL.
NFL, baby. It began, I should say, last night in earnest. Games that actually count. We're all super thankful that the NFL is here. That said, what an odd football game between the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs, rife with drops, rife with strange decisions, and it is the Lions who win it outright as plus 180 dogs, 21-20 against the Kelce-less and Chris Jones-less Kansas City Chiefs. You know, a lot of people going crazy in mainstream media. Oh, what an upset. This was unbelievable. They were a four-point dog in the end. So, again, we'll talk to Matt Brown this hour. He's with us all hour long talking about his takeaways from that game, his season-long bets, his bets this weekend. We have our bets for this weekend in the NFL. We'll get to all of that. But first, last night, as we do here on a numbers game, just sort of a recap of it. Game started 3-and-out from Detroit, 6-and-out from Kansas City. The first sort of big moment in the game, scoreless game, looked like it was going to be a 3-and-out again for the Lions. But 4th-and-2 at their own 17, Kelly, with 9:27 left in the first quarter. They snap it to the up man in punt formation, Jalen Reeves-Maybin. He gets 3 yards, first down Lions, ballsy to begin the season, or at least on the second drive, from Dan Campbell, right off the top.
What was funny was I jokingly called out, Dan Campbell's going to go for it here. And then he brought out the punt team, and I was like, okay, never mind, he's going to punt away.
And then the fake punt. They convert it 10 plays later as they matriculate the ball down the field. Jared Goff to Amon-Ra St. Brown from 9 out, 7-0 Lions. They draw first blood. 14-play, 91-yard drive, 1-8-0-4. By the way, if you had Jahmyr Gibbs to score the first touchdown, you were not happy about this because the play before that, Jahmyr Gibbs, who looked like he was going to go untouched or end around into the end zone, tripped over his own 2 feet.
He is such a whole other story on his own of this game, and we'll get to that after.
The lack of touches?
Just the lack of touches,
yeah.
Yes.
At least for most of that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kansas City then goes 13 plays, 75 yards, 5:56. Mahomes to Rashee Rice, 1 yard touchdown pass. We're tied up at 7 with 11:50 left. Then Detroit, and this was the thing about the first half. I mean, just a quick reminder that most of this in the NFL really does come down to Plinko. The better you can identify the games that aren't, the better off you'll be. But most of them are. And this one, from a first-half perspective, certainly was. Detroit drives all the way from the 25 to the Kansas City 17. But a snap over Jared Goff's head on 1st-and-10 puts Detroit behind the sticks. 2 plays later, 3rd-and-10 from the 17. Goffed Marvin Jones Jr. Marvin Jones Jr. looks like the Lions are going to settle for a field goal, but Trent McDuffie jars it loose. Brian Cook recovers at the 7, and with 5:14 left, first fumble of Marvin Jones' career, Kansas City has the football. We're still tied at 7. Kansas City 3-and-out. Detroit 3-and-out. Kansas City starts at their own 18 with 2:02 left in the first half. And remember, the spread here on the first half got down to 2.5 in favor of the Chiefs. Mahomes to Rice for 25. There's 1:54 left, but 3 plays later after a holding call, the entire first half ATS bet comes down to this play. 3rd-and-17 at the KC 36 with 1:07 left. It's the play for the first half bet. Mahomes to Marquez Scantling for 34. Then Mahomes to Justin Watson for 26. Mahomes to Blake Bell from 4 out, just like that. 14-7 KC. And they get the ball first in the second half, leaving just 34 seconds left on the clock for Detroit to work with. Mahomes was 5 of 6 for 92 on that drive. And by the way, on that last 34 seconds, what bizarre clock management by the Lions. Everything short, everything over the middle, didn't really give it a go.
Yeah.
14-7 Kansas City at the half. If you had the Chiefs, What a Plinko first half victory that was for you. Could have just as easily been a loss. Same thing for the Detroit side. I do have one other note here in the first half. Jawan Taylor has false started the entire game.
It was incredible. It was incredible that everybody in the world saw it except for the refs.
Will Hill reminded me. I once had Jeff Schwartz from Fox on the show, offensive lineman of 9-10 years in the NFL. And I said to him, some game where the right tackle was false starting every single game. I was like, does that drive you crazy? Is he like daring the ref to make the call? And Jeff Schwartz's response to me was, what does it really matter? I'm like, I don't know, Jeff, you get two steps where you can absorb the contact. I don't know, just off the top of my head. Didn't you play the game? Third quarter, KC 5-and-out to start things off. Remember, they had the 2-for-1 basically there.
Right.
But they don't take advantage. Detroit 3-and-out. Then Kansas City third play, and this is where it just, you know, it starts to go haywire for the Chiefs. Third play, 3rd and 6 from the Kansas City 46. Mahomes intended for Kadarius Toney right off of his hands. Picked off by rookie Brian Branch to the house. 50 yards, were tied at 14 apiece. Then KC, despite some amazing footwork from Mahomes in the pocket, which is just, you know, sort of a nuanced part of this game, they go 5-and-out. Detroit then, 6 plays, they got to punt it. And this was weird, and this is where the decision-making, right? It's already the drop passes we're going to talk about, and we just did about Kadarius Toney for the first time. But 4th and 3 at the Kansas City 40, 5:56 left in the third quarter. This, remember, after he was super aggressive, Dan Campbell, in the first half at his own 17 in a tie game, a scoreless game. They elect to punt 4th and 3 at the KC 40.
Sweet punt, Dan. Sweet punt.
Well, it was one of those.
Made no sense.
At the moment, you're like, is that going to beat Patrick Mahomes? By the way, Greg Allman tweeting out, Chiefs Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore combined for 8 targets last night in their loss to the Lions, yielding 1 catch for 1 yard.
It was rough.
At least 4 drops between the two of them, 3 from Toney. KC starts at their own 10 after that punt. On the strength of a 41-yard PI, where they push Justin Watson off of his route. Chiefs then 4th and 2 from the Detroit 17. 4th and 2 from the Detroit 17. Again, tie game. They settle for a Harrison Butker 35-yard field goal just to go up to 17-14. We're talking late third quarter here.
I felt both coaches coached the game scared. I thought that Dan Campbell knew he was in the game with the Chiefs in Arrowhead and didn't want to blow it, so he wasn't as aggressive as he could have been. And then I think the Chiefs were just trying to survive and get out of there with a win.
Super conservative, super inconsistent,
yes.
super head-scratching decisions. Detroit 3-and-out to span the third and the fourth, beginning of the fourth quarter. Then KC spurred on by a big 25-yard pickup by Noah Gray. They end up with a 2nd and 1 from the Detroit 20. With 13:03 left, and you're like, okay, well, they're going to pile on here and go up 2 scores. No, the Lions stop a jet sweep for a 1-yard loss, and they force an incompletion. They settle again for a Butker field goal from 39. It's 20-14, KC. Those are the only 6 points that the Chiefs would end up scoring in the second half. Detroit then, and this is their biggest play of the game. This was the game changer. 3rd and 12 at their own 23. Remember, they're down 6 at this point. Goff to Josh Reynolds for 18. 4 plays later, that kept the drive alive. Goff to Reynolds for 33. A lot of it yak. 2 plays later, Montgomery in from 8 out. 21-20 Detroit. That would ultimately be the final score. But the game wrapped up with a few drives. KC started with 7:06 left at their own 25. They had a 3-and-out, a 3rd and 1 at their own 34, where Blake Bell, that was the one where he started under center, lined up under center. They did the sweep to Rice. The Lions were ready for it. Josh Pascal got him for a 3-yard loss. 5:07 left. Detroit got the ball back with a 1-point lead. After a false start, Gibbs for 18. There's your guy, Jahmyr Gibbs. 4 plays later, 4th and 2 at the KC 45 with 2:33 left. This time they go for it, trying to put the nail in the coffin, and Goff gets his pass batted down by Justin Reed, and you're like, same old Lions.
Yep.
Here we go.
Yep.
It's all going to end that way. But the final salvo for KC, they start with the ball, 2:30 left, down 21-20. All they need is a field goal to win. That won't get you the cover,
and
but a field goal to win.
Mahomes got the ball. You got to go. It's about 30 yards. Kick a field goal. Game's over.
Mahomes, deep, open. Toney, straight drop.
Ugh.
Straight drop. And even Mahomes couldn't hide his frustration at this point. Then a holding penalty negated a big play to Sky Moore after 2 incomplete passes. 4th and 20 at their own 35 with 2:09 left. They have all their timeouts left and the 2-minute warning. And we're all thinking the same thing. Well, you punt here, right?
You punt.
No, they're going for it, but a false start. a false start and becomes fourth and 25.
Now you obviously punt.
With 2:09 left. Now you obviously punt. We're all thinking the same thing. Now, of course, you punt the football. Nope. They decide to go for it.
Well, they've had reliable receivers all game, too.
All game.
You know what I mean?
And Mahomes throws it past the sticks off the hands of Justin Watson. And that is Katie Barr the door after the Lions get a first down on three runs by Montgomery. Ball game 21-20 Detroit. Goff 22 of 35 for 253. Montgomery 21 for 74. Hope you played the over rushing yards prop that I suggested yesterday. Reynolds 4 for 80. St. Brown 6 for 71. Mahomes 21 of 39 for 226 in the loss. Two touchdowns, one pick. He was their leading rusher, the Chiefs' leading rusher, 6 for 45. His first ever week one loss. The Chiefs were 0 for 7 on third down in the second half. Four dropped passes, three on third down, three by Tony himself. And we'll get into that last, that fourth and 25 after the break, because I want to just talk about that briefly because it was going around Twitter yesterday. Joe Pita and I were talking about what was the optimal play for the Kansas City Chiefs at that point. It's an interesting question.
Yeah.
But in the end, what's your what is your biggest takeaway? Is it that you can't say anything about the Chiefs because they didn't have Kelce and Jones, or you think the Lions have solidified themselves as clearly no worse than the fourth best team in the NFC?
I don't think we should be overreacting about anything. I was impressed with how Detroit looked on both in the trenches on both sides of the ball, but I think they were a little underwhelming too as a big division favorite in the NFC North. I think they could have played better. And look, the Chiefs have some problems they got to deal with, but I think they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere.
We're all thrilled to have football back. That was an odd football game.
I thought it was a great last preseason game.
It was a great fourth preseason game is what it was. That's exactly right. Oh, we don't do those anymore? That counted? Okay. We'll come back. Matt Brown on the game last night and everything week one. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Even though Thursday Night Football is kicked off, there's still time to get a betting edge before Sunday's games. Our updated NFL betting guide has plenty of opportunities all season long. Picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSiN betting splits, and football contest strategies. If you want the best and most comprehensive collection of picks, predictions, and previews, now's the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber for as low as $19 or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Numbers Game live from Bar Canada here at the D. Our first stop on the way to actual Canada, I'm told.
That's right.
That's what's happening here with the Numbers Game. Ladies and gentlemen, every Friday this football season, we are thrilled to have our old primetime action co-host with us. The band is back together. He currently is co-host of The Handle here on the network and host of the All Angles Football Betting Contest. It's Matt Brown, everybody. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. This is good to be back on the desk with you guys, looking around. Kelly Bidlin, a big old head of his, just like it's even bigger when it's not behind the glass, right? It's just right there.
It's right there in our face.
Man, he's coming in firing away.
It's just right there.
Man,
yeah.
He said it's coming in firing.
It's just right there.
They should have special order a headset for that thing, right? I mean, like certainly that wasn't standard issue. Like
it's the same thing you got on, all right?
I doubt it.
All right.
I doubt it.
Oh, you kids. It's already started. I want to get to all your plays for this weekend, maybe even your favorite season long. But last thing about this game, well, I want to get your thoughts too. But just the point about the 4th and 20, which became 4th and 25 with 2:09 left in the game and the Chiefs down a point. And we were discussing, a lot of people were discussing this on Twitter. It wasn't just me and Joe Pita. But we were discussing what was the optimal plus EV play for the Chiefs in that situation. And the conclusion was that the optimal play, not that this would have ever happened in real life, but maybe one day a team and a coach will be this forward thinking. The optimal play would have been for Patrick Mahomes to go back to the 9-yard line, hear me out, 9-yard line and go out of bounds. What does that accomplish? Before the two-minute warning, because remember the Chiefs had all three of their timeouts and the two-minute warning would have still been in play at that point. He does that. What it does is force the Lions to either kick a field goal or score a touchdown.
Right.
Right? Now, it also assumes you don't go for two if you score the touchdown. That's a whole nother matter. But what that does is guarantee you get the football back and a chance to extend the game. In a million years, will that ever happen? Because that is actually the best EV play you can make at that point.
Yeah, old school football minds are like,
no
not
way.
Going, yeah, zero chance that that's ever going to happen. But
that would have been brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, there were several different things I think you could have done there other than go for it on 4th and 25.
I mean, I would have punted, quite frankly, but that's just me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I get it. Everyone's like, yeah, you can't do it, you can't do it. Well, I mean, you kind of can, right? I mean, you can. The coaching decisions last night, I'm sure you guys hit it in the first set, were just all over the place.
They were
Dan
Campbell was so inconsistent.
Yeah, just all over the place with them.
Yeah. What was your big takeaway? Last thing on this game. What was your takeaway, if anything?
So, if you guys listened to our preseason pod, the preseason mega pod, one of the things that I brought up was I had real concerns about this wide receiver core and this wide receiver room for the Chiefs, which is why I couldn't be all in on the Chiefs, which is why I was saying, listen, I think the Chargers have a real chance in that division. I think it showed up a little bit last night. I mean, we just go in every year thinking, it's Andy Reid, it's Patrick Mahomes, everything's going to be fine. Well, I mean, you're looking at a whole bunch of dudes that are unproven out there. At least last year with Juju Smith-Schuster, there was a track record. There's nothing with any of these guys. Yeah. Like Kadarius Toney's never been on the field for very long. Rashee Rice is a rookie. Marquez Valdes-Scantling last year had 81 targets and he caught 42 of them.
Jeez.
Right? You know, I mean, he's a 51% catch rate guy. I mean, it's just you take away Juju Smith-Schuster and you take away Travis Kelce last night. That was 190 receptions that were gone. For Patrick Mahomes, the next closest guy was Jerick McKinnon. It wasn't even a receiver. It was a back who had the catches for them last year. So I think there's something here with this whole receiver room. Wouldn't be surprised if they're not on the phone this morning. Hey, Julio, are you completely, like, broken down? Hey, Jarvis Landry, you know, like any of these guys. Kenny Galladay, like, do you care to play with the greatest quarterback of all time?
The beauty of Julio is that everybody knows who that is, right? Hey, Julio. Come on in town.
You're 35 and probably have, like, nothing left, but can you come in and catch a few for my guy?
Calvin Johnson, what you up to these days?
I agree with Kelly's assessment, though. I'm not going to read too much into any of them. I'm not going to go crazy about the Chiefs because they didn't have a Kelce. They didn't have Chris Jones. And Lions, fourth best team at a minimum in the NFC. Are you prepared to say that?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. And listen, I think the defense is going to be better for them for sure, but I don't think the defense is good by any stretch of the imagination, which is another – at least gives me pause. I mean, I'm not overreacting into one game with this Chiefs team, but I think the Lions are going to be middle of the pack at best. And so they're going to face some teams that are going to be upper third, if not top 10 in the NFL. And it makes you wonder, you know, I mean, it makes you wonder. Kelce is a year older. He's a year older.
For those who missed the Beating the Book Megapod, Matt Brown and Kelly were part of the preview show. They were the preview show before the week one show we just did with Fezzik, Todd Wishnev and Will Hill. Tell this audience, if you would, what your favorite season-long NFL bet or two are.
Yeah, Jags to win the AFC South for sure is my favorite one. Like, and again, I think that the price is still appropriate on that price. I mean, I have them winning this thing, you know, over 80% of the time with the teams that they're going up against with the two rookie quarterbacks. And then, of course, I think that this Titans team has a pretty low floor this year considering that there's no money owed to Ryan Tannehill. They could move to a rookie quarterback. We could be looking at a division with three rookie quarterbacks going towards the latter half of the season if they decide to go ahead and make the switch to Will Levis if things aren't going right for them over the course of the year. So really, really like the Jags in the South.
Okay, let's get to week one. Without further ado, I don't know what a Jew is present, but without further ado.
How about this?
Yes.
Let's just stay with the Jags. How about it?
And I
took the Jags at 4.5. Over the Colts, and I know that this is creeping to 5, it looks like, out there at a lot of places right now, but there is a 4.5 still available, so shop around. The Colts, I think, have a super wide range of outcomes in any given week, whereas Anthony Richardson, I think, could end up looking like a top 5 quarterback in the NFL one week and then look like the absolute worst quarterback in the league the next.
Yeah.
And so I'm fully prepared to take a horrible beat on this Colts team at some point throughout the course
of the
season.
By the way, we asked our friend Drew, what game do you want no part of? And he says, I'll give you a blanket full season answer to that question, anything the Colts are involved in.
Because of Anthony Richardson, right? And, like, what he brings to the table. That said, I think it's going to take at least a couple of weeks for him to kind of settle in a little bit here. I think one of the things that we saw in the preseason, yes, super dynamic, super athletic, still has some accuracy issues. Definitely a dude that first read wasn't there. He took off, and which he should do, by the way, which he should do. That is the best way they have a chance to win games is for him to just be Anthony Richardson and kind of play backyard football. But I don't think that's going to be good enough against this Jags team. I expect that he'll give it to them at least once, if not twice, in this game. I think that'll be plenty for them to cover the 4.5 here. And again, there's still 1 4.5 left out there, mostly 5s. I would still play it at 5.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that I think it's an interesting, just the Anthony Richardson, back to that point, a whole season long. Like, you know, I think there's a good chance, Matt, he could end up looking like an early Mike Vick, right? It's you're not going to bench the guy. He's the future of the franchise, but he could be it could be taken off and running a whole lot real easy before he's working through his progressions and his reads. And yeah, some weeks that might burn you, and some weeks he might turn the ball over 3-4 times, and it's an easy win.
Well, speaking of that, his rushing props at 47.5, that might be the lowest we ever see it.
Yeah,
this entire season. Yeah. So that's something to look at too. There'll be at least 6 or 7 designed runs for him. He's going to scramble another 4 or 5 times. Like, if that's the case, if he has 10 carries, he's getting to 50 yards. I mean, that's happening for sure. So just we might not see another 47.5 on him. So just something to, if you do want some sort of action on the Colts, don't think Anthony Richardson and 47.5 on that over is a bad bet.
Are you in contests this year?
I am.
Survivor or no Survivor?
Yeah, I did 3 Survivor in just one of the millions. Like, I started out, I think,
1 millions too.
I started out with 3 millions, and then I did 2,
yeah.
And then now I'm down to 1 because...
Me too. Same thing.
In any given week, how confident are you in 5 NFL
picks? Well, that's the rub, right?
And so then you got 3 entries, and I'm kind of like, well, do I just put in the same 5 picks that, like, well, I'm not all that confident in, or do I, like,
no,
try to
I'll
mix
put
it
in,
up?
I'll you know? Put in 15
yeah,
of them.
Yeah. Do I try to mix it up and get cute here? Like, yeah, no, I'm just doing the 1.
So I assume the Jags are one of them. One of your millions picks.
Yeah,
you'll back that up with a bet.
Gonna play the Jags for sure. There's a couple that are contest picks that I don't necessarily think are
bets
in the account. Yeah,
Which are those two?
Specifically, the Bills. Like, I'm not gonna have the Bills over the Jets like in my account, but I think that that's a contest play for me because I look at this Jets team and I don't think that they're bad by any stretch of the imagination, but I certainly think that everyone's just blowing this up because Aaron Rodgers is stepping in. It's a step in the right direction for sure. And everyone's like down a little bit on the Bills. I mean, you got to think about what this Bills team went through last year. And like, I'm not going to try and make excuses for the Bills that they almost had a player die on the field, but that's got to be a little bit of something to go through throughout the course of, you know, with the team and the locker room and all of that. And look, they didn't lose all that much in the offseason, gained a little bit, in my opinion. And so I think they're a field goal better than this version of the Jets. The Jets might get better over the course of the season, but I mean, I think that they're at least a field goal better than them right off the bat, but not willing to put it in the account, probably a contest.
Was there another one, a contest but not an actual bet real quick?
Cincinnati and Cleveland, another one of those
Same thing.
It's like I don't want to put it in the account.
But you got to pick 5.
But
pick 5. All right, we'll get beyond the Jaguars. We'll get to Matt's other actual bets that he'll also have in the contest. That's on the other side. And we'll ask him about games that he doesn't have bets on and his thoughts just as a fan watching them, what he's looking for. Football, numbers game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get rewarded before you ever place a bet with the GBank Visa Signature Card. Unlike other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions or treat them as a cash advance, the GBank Visa Signature Card can load directly to your favorite sportsbook apps. You'll earn a 1% cash rewards on gaming and sports app loads every time and 2% on other purchases. GBank Visa is a card designed for gaming and sports fans everywhere and works with apps like DraftKings, BetMGM, and Caesars. To learn more, go to g.bank/vsin. Matt, you have your GBank Visa card yet? You got that?
Application is in the mail.
It's pending.
Yeah.
Pending.
Applications in the mail.
Credit check.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Applications.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Matt Brown here on a Friday morning. Trip Tepper, another NFL game where the point spread didn't matter. Just pick the winner, and you will likely get the cover, too. It's actually 83% since 1978. Only 17% of games does the point spread end up mattering. In other words, favorites win but don't cover. Just to follow VSiN, we can play Name That Tune, Got the Blaring Alarm, maybe add a wild goat or just some general livestock in the background for the trifecta today, perhaps. I'm a listener under any conditions, but get these guys some walls. That's
pumping the Lenny Kravitz right now.
Got a little Lenny going on.
A little Lenny.
Rick Olier, he says, the biggest takeaway I have from last night was that Patrick Mahomes, hey, someone won a jackpot behind you guys. Mazel tov. X-Prime lets us know, this is from Logan Lemorandier, that Jahmyr Gibbs yesterday, 6 broken tackles rushing the football per PFF on just 7 carries for yards after contact average of 4.86 yards. For reference, DeAndre Swift had a total of 24 forced missed tackles last year. Williams, Jamal Williams, that is, 30 all of last season. Jahmyr Gibbs was six of them last night alone.
Makes sense, Gil. Only give the guy nine touches. Yep.
No bitterness.
No bitterness. And I loved the draft pick. We all did the draft shows together. I loved Gibbs going early. 12th, I liked the pick.
12th pick of the draft.
12th pick of the draft. Nine touches. What's the plan here?
Underdoggy one. Like that shirt today. What brand is that? Thanks, Ed. People ask me all the time about this shirt and brand, and I have no response.
I don't know that logo either.
Because fashion stylist Deborah Song got it. And Jason, finally, at Sparty KY, he says, I'm in a survivor pool. Oh, this is good. A little survivor pool reference because we don't have the circa numbers yet because the deadline is until tomorrow. He says he's in a survivor pool with 24,890 entries. Whoa. 24,890 entries. 821 had the Chiefs. 821 had the Chiefs. So what's that? Boop, 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 boop. Was that 4%? 4% of the pool.
Some of those let you do the rebuy, right? Like, and so it was kind of like a no harm, no foul to play the game last night.
That's right.
And so, like, yeah, you could have strategized and actually gone the other direction if you wanted to and played the Lions. And it's kind of like, oh, well, now I'm putting a leg up.
Well, Steve Fezzik, I believe, now will join Survivor. His whole strategy was if all those – he knows there's going to be a bunch of people out of Kansas City, and if all of them are out, he doesn't believe the rebuy will be that massive. Yeah. And so now he's actually playing.
Because you got to do it in person.
Incremental advantage.
And you got to do it in person. That's the other thing.
You got to do it in person. That's right. Most people are like, I'm not flying back in.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. All right, so the Jaguars is your favorite play of the week. What else did you bet?
Yeah, so I have the under in the Titans Saints sitting at 42. Listen, I'm not as high on this Saints team as a lot of people are. I know they're the favorite in the division by default, essentially. You have the best quarterback in the division by default because you got a rookie and you got some other guys that are trying to prove themselves that are going on here. And then, of course, Baker Mayfield. And I'm looking at this Saints team and I'm like, hey, no Alvin Kamara here in week one. They got a pretty good defense. And I think that they'll be able to kind of stop what's going on the Titans side of things. Titans offensive line, by the way, could be, when this is all said and done, the absolute worst offensive line we have seen in the NFL in quite a while. I mean, this is no talent whatsoever on this team. And so I'm wondering how much success they're going to have moving the ball the way that they've moved the ball in years past, right, which is typically just turn around, hand the ball off to Derrick Henry and let him do his thing. And I don't know if that's going to be the case. The DeAndre Hopkins stuff would have made me feel better if he went to the Chiefs, the Bills, right? Like somewhere where he didn't have to truly be a number one, and then it could be like, oh, okay, that is a really awesome number two. And now DeAndre Hopkins is your number two. That moves the meter for me. Now he goes to the Titans. He has to be the number one, and it's with Ryan Tannehill throwing in the ball. It's just something that doesn't really move the meter for me either. And so I don't think they score very much, but they have a pretty good defense too. So I think that they could be kind of in this slog here with this Saints team when it's all said and done. I actually had this kind of in the mid-30s from a scoring perspective, so I really like this thing under 42. I don't think we're going to see very many points.
Under 42.
Any totals for you this week?
No.
No totals for you
this week? Not a single
total. I didn't play one yet. The one I was going to bring up with you guys, thoughts on Broncos-Raiders, because that was the other one I'm strong leaning under, but haven't gotten to a bet yet.
I'm told that's an elevation as well, Matt.
It is.
Matt, you dig into that one at all?
Yeah, I mean, so I don't think the Raiders are very good. I don't think they're very talented. What's going on with this Chandler Jones thing? Yeah. Is he bizarre. Like, is he going to play? Is he not going to play with all of that? I don't think they're the outside chance team, I think, to challenge the Cardinals for a worse record if the Cardinals actually do decide to bring back Kyler Murray, which they shouldn't. But if they do and he stumbles into a few wins, it wouldn't surprise me if the Raiders are actually the team that has the fewest amount of wins. I just don't know. This was a stay away for me altogether because I don't know exactly what we have in Russell Wilson at this point. Do you think it is okay, we should firmly blame the coaching regime last year and he's not washed? Do you think, oh no, he's actually fully washed? Or are we at a point where it's like, he's just an aging quarterback who maybe isn't aging very well?
The age curve is taking effect.
Yeah.
Well, there's no clear answer. Joe Pita came on this show last year before the season started and made the case that Russell Wilson was already significantly on the downside. That sort of manifested during the season. But do I think it can't be worse than last year? Yes.
Me too.
So part of that's the coaching, right? He wasn't helped up by that. Now, Sean Payton, regardless of this other stuff that he's on, where he's got to, like, criticize everything in the world, which, weren't you a scab in 1987? Like, how did you become this guy? You haven't won 10 Super Bowls. You've won one. Relax. You know, he was telling Russell Wilson you can't be concerned with Russell, Inc. I still think he'll coach him up to a point where he'll have a better season. Now, do I think that's a season-long thing? No. I think he'll be good. He'll be a little better early, and then I think the age, he's getting older, and it's not working out well, his age curve.
I think we look at some of these guys, and we often reference how Burrow and Herbert have ruined rookie quarterbacks and how we think about them. Like, the Tom Brady thing, we just think that everybody can just play well into their mid to late 30s, and that just was not the case.
Right.
Very recently, that still was not the case. Like, you started hitting 33, 34, your skill set declined rapidly. And, you know, we're at that point with Russell Wilson. I think that Russell Wilson is just – he's getting older, and he's just probably not the same guy that we remember from 3 and 4 years ago, and it's probably only going to get worse. But I don't think he was as bad as we saw last year. If anyone can figure anything out, it would be Sean Payton, but – no, I gotta see it to believe it.
That's worth bringing up, though. You're right. Like, the notion that a 34-year-old quarterback would be on the downside of an age curve, you know, there's a whole generation now that's like, what are you talking about, 34? That's how it used to be.
Yeah,
that's how it used to be
for sure.
That's how it used to be. What other bets did you make?
Then? Yeah, so first one that ever went, that went into my account when all the lines even came out, I thought this was going to move. It didn't. It actually moved against me for a little while. I played the Eagles against the Patriots, and I know it's a favorite on
Thank
the road.
Thank you very much. Kelly and I have had a difficulty with this because we're on the Eagles too,
yeah.
But everybody we bring on the show is on the Patriots.
It is by far the best roster in the NFL, without question. Like, I mean, you look on both sides of the ball. PFF isn't the end-all, be-all, but certainly reference it a lot on the network here. You go in, and they color code guys, right? And so you can pull up the team, and, like, green is good, and dark green is better, and then blue means they're elite. And you pull it up, and everybody's green or blue. Like, the whole team is green or blue. It is they are either good, great, or elite at their position on both sides of the ball. They have the best offensive line in the NFL. That defensive line is going to be extremely good. They've got an awesome secondary. And the skill position players, how are you going to argue with what they've done there? I don't get it. I don't get the Patriots' love. And if you want to – let's play devil's advocate here. And this is some of the – well, it's this defense has talent. Okay, I'll give you the defense.
Sure,
talent.
Me too. Yes.
Tell me how they then score and how they outscore the Eagles, because you can't tell me that you think they're going to completely shut them down. That's not going to be the case.
I've asked the question many times. Like, what's the off season? We did this on the preview podcast at Beating the Book. What's the preseason sentiment that you have trouble getting to that you've heard from most people? This is the week one sentiment that I've had the most trouble getting to. Like, Dr. Bob, who's coming on later talking college football, his only pick in the NFL this week is the Patriots plus the points, and I'm just sort of like, and he explained it was about coordinators being. I get the whole coordinators. The Eagles have two new ones. The Patriots just did something fakakta completely. You know, fakakta last year. So I get that, but I'm with you. I'm like, the line I say is, by the middle of the second quarter, how many of you have the Patriots are going to be like, oh, yeah, I forgot the Eagles are, like, the greatest team going?
Well, so you're going to tell me best case scenario they hold them to, what, 23 points in this game? So
sure.
So you're telling me that the Patriots are going to get to 20? I mean, this Patriots offense is not any good. They have no talent. They have nobody out there. And if you're going to tell me, well, it was because the offensive coordinator situation last year, and here comes Bill O'Brien fresh out of the Nick Saban rehabilitation program, and he's going to, like, make everything better, I don't think that's the case. And maybe so later on. The Eagles defense is awesome. Like, this is, like, their Eagles defense is great.
And it's another thing, though, like, that you should expect that to take time. Like, we're going to see that manifest in week one. I'm just not buying.
Cut to a shot of us Monday morning, and it's the Patriots.
38-14.
38, the Eagles 14. More NFL. We'll see if Matt has any other bets, but really just go through some games randomly, get his thoughts. Week one of the National Football League. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Can you believe we've had 7 months without an NFL game till last night? Crazy, right? Well, good thing that's over. NFL's here. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving you a can't-miss offer for week one. This week, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL game. Download now and use code VEGAS to sign up. New customers can take home $200 in bonus bets instantly just for betting $5. That's code VEGAS. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. USA goes down in defeat to Germany.
Yeah.
113 to 111. So Serbia is taking on Germany in the
World
finals.
Cup final. What just you, like we all thought.
What could you have gotten on an exacta price for that?
I don't know. I did consider Germany like 25-1. JVT, though, he hit the USA to lose in the semis, 6-1.
Did he?
Yeah, so that covers his Canada bit.
You and JVT frantically texting each other this morning?
He is.
Yeah.
I lost. I'm out, so whatever. Burn up the ticket. More firewood.
Hey, is there some John Daly thing?
Oh, my God. I saw
about?
This on Twitter yesterday. John Daly, yeah. Okay, taking a break from a golf tournament to line up some field goal practice. And you might notice he did this barefoot, and I don't know, it's with his left foot.
He's also a straight-on kicker. He's a throwback.
Yeah, and Gil, it looks about 21 yards to me. You know, it's tough to tell from our look. So, Matt, I just think it brings up a lot of questions.
A lot of questions.
One, he obviously has lost all feeling in his foot. Like you can't toe-poke.
Kicking that,
You can't toe-poke, like, barefoot. John Daly has drank himself to where the foot has no feeling left anymore, for sure. We know this. Also, I told you, this can be done. Just say yes on the spray tan.
For those
who are tuning in for the first time, this has been going on, what we say, 2 years running now?
Just say yes. We'll do it all next weekend.
So two years ago on Primetime Action, Matt Brown, upon seeing a college football team decide not to kick a 21-yard field goal because their actual place kicker was hurt, and the punter apparently didn't have the skill set to do that, he was outraged by this. How can a punter not do it? And then you made the outlandish claim, besides that you invented the question mark of what?
I could make it left-footed.
That you could make a 21-yard field goal left-footed.
Yes.
And so then this whole challenge came up. You'll do that, and you'll also kick a how long of a field goal?
40-yarder right-footed.
Okay, so for 2 years, Matt Brown is hemmed and hawed, and this hasn't happened. And then on the Beating the Book podcast, the NFL preview the other day, before we actually got to NFL talk, he Jedi mind-tricked you into putting all the pressure on you, Kelly Bidlin.
Yes, this is the way Matt Brown does things.
This is how he does things. This is his formula.
Yeah.
And now he will do it if you get a spray tan.
Yeah, somehow I have to go first, even though I have a track record of 2 years of him not kicking this field goal.
Unbelievable.
Here's the thing,
field goal, I'll be out there, we'll drive straight to the spray tan.
All right, next weekend.
Next weekend.
There it is.
Done. I got a fly bugging all over my face.
I know.
I'm over here swatting it.
That was not your, like, you were not trying to mind trick me. You're trying to get the fly off your face. Yeah.
That fly.
Right, next week, we're going to the park.
There it
and
is.
The tanning salon.
Straight to the stand. This is double content. It's great.
This is
amazing.
Fantastic.
We get content all
By
over
the way,
place.
I wonder if that's the same fly that harassed me the other day. Just
it
hanging
might just
out.
Be hanging out. Yeah.
Just hanging out.
He loves
out.
The show.
We just leave straight from here on next Friday. We don't have to do it on the week. Bam, we'll go straight.
There you
go. Boom, straight from here. There we go. Love it.
We'll just do the rest of the show in the car on the way over there.
Are you getting one too? Or you just hanging out with him?
No, I'm just hanging out.
Okay.
I'll be in the room with him though. You know, just making sure everything goes down fine. Everything goes down okay. I'll be in the little booth with you.
You better not be changing up the tint on me.
Hey, do we have our picks? Can I show up my picks? Because I want to get to a couple of these, and I want to have Matt comment on one of them at least. These are my five contest plays. Survivor, I don't know how I'm going to parse out the five entries quite yet, but I talked about I won't have all of them on Washington. I won't have all of them on Baltimore. I'll go frisky on one of those, perhaps with a Denver. We'll see. But these are the five contest plays that I have, and these will all be backed up by bets. I'm taking the Ravens. I'm laying the 9.5, which is what it is now. This dropped to 9.5 against the Texans. A lot of Ravens dislike, I'm hearing. I don't know about this football team. Perhaps not among the elite, just sort of hearing anecdotally. I'll take my chances week one. These all fall into the category of week one, let's see what happens, bets. I'm taking the Steelers on the money line, +110 against the Niners. I'm curious your thoughts on this one. We'll circle back to this, Matt. But this is, for me, as much as I love the Niners and had a bunch of bets on them last year, even I've admitted Brock Purdy got really good luck in terms of turnover plays that should have happened, the old PFF turnover worthy play stat. And I think the Steelers, just the whole Malcolm Gladwell blink reference of how you just remember things and you know things. The Steelers opening days with T.J. Watt making plays and that defense all over the field. I think the Steelers win that outright. I did take the Broncos laying the 3 in the elevation against the Raiders. I took the Eagles, as we talked about, at the Patriots. And I took the Cowboys Monday night laying the three against the Giants. You know how I feel about the Giants. They're a season win total alternate underplay for me. And I think the Cowboys, if you're really this good, if you're as good as you're supposed to be, you run the Giants off the field on Sunday night, or at least cover. Let's put it that way. What about the Steelers and the Niners?
Yeah, so I have that as part of the only teaser I have in the account this week. I have the Steelers up to 8.5 with the Commanders down to a point. And here, this is mainly coming to the Brock Purdy thing here. And anyone that's listened to any content I've done all offseason, anything, it is the most important position in all sports. This is a guy coming off of a major injury. This is a guy that now these teams have an offseason to go back and watch tape, which, by the way, Gil, they had no reason to watch tape on Brock Purdy. The guy wasn't even supposed to make the team,
right,
much less like actually play in games.
Right.
So he's not sneaking up on anybody this year. And so if there is a flaw to be had and flaw to be found, which I'm going to guess when you dig in, a guy that didn't go till the seventh round, there probably are some flaws and probably are some things that you can find.
Right.
That they found them, and they're going to be things that these guys, everyone goes back to the, but Shanahan. Yeah, he's still got to make the throws, right? I mean, he's still got to go, and he's still got to hit the guys in stride and all the different things that make guys successful. So I'm down on the 49ers. I played under their win total in the season. Now, I got an 11.5 when it opened. It's now 10.5. I don't know if I'd necessarily go there. But I'm all in on the Seahawks, which, by the way, is a bet for me this week. I have the Seahawks as -4 versus the Rams. And that has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that the Rams are going to put out there, outside of Aaron Donald, the worst defense. Name one other player on their defense. You can't do it.
Jack Youngblood.
You really can't.
Rosie Greer.
It is insane. And when they eventually end up moving Aaron Donald because he's like, I'm not going to be here for a rebuild.
Yeah.
Get me out of here. It will actually be the worst defense maybe that we've ever seen on an NFL field ever.
And Norman Cromwell.
So explain to me how Seattle doesn't win this thing by 4 points.
That's my favorite bet of the week.
Yeah.
Is that yours, or which one is yours?
Right there, Jags in this one as well are right there together.
So the Seahawks are right up there. Interesting.
Yeah.
This is not hyperbole, right? I mean, it is a defense that is could be historically bad. If they end up getting rid of Aaron Donald, it could be historically bad. There are guys that are just absolute no names that they are going to be running out there. It's the price you pay whenever you break it. Whenever you go all in to win a Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's just going to be a rebuild after that, and that's where we're at right now.
And we're seeing that in Tampa right now. And I also don't want to go down the road of, hey, you should be listening to every quarterback's wife's podcast and really taking things from that. But I think there's a little something concerning when you're hearing things like Matt Stafford can't connect with any of these young receivers on offense and stuff like that. Concerned me a little bit going into the season.
Yeah. No Cooper Kupp. So you're going to be trotting out Van Jefferson, Tutu Atwell, and Puka Nakua. And I'm not even – that's not mm-hmm, a – mm-hmm. And Puka Nakua out of the slot. That's going to be their three receivers that are going for the
Rams. I think
Rams,
their season
could be Tutu and Puka?
Yeah, yes. There's Tutu and Puka and Van. Van and Tutu and Puka are going to be the trio receivers out there. So, again, the two tackles, by the way, for Seattle last year, both rookies – these are guys that played pretty well, actually, kind of like league average as rookies. And we typically see these offensive linemen take a step in year two if they're any good. And so if these guys are any good, if they take a step, you got two good tackles to go along with a bunch of playmakers. And on the defensive side of the ball, they've drafted very, very, very well. It's not the Legion of Boom, but it's still a good defense. It would not surprise me if they win this game by 17 points. It wouldn't surprise me if they just go in and just boat race the Rams.
Wow. You're starting to get me to want to change my frisky survivor play from Denver to Seattle. Last question, because we only have a minute left. Non-betting related now. Mm-hmm. Just you may not even have any action on this game. What's the game you're actually most interested in watching just from a fan standpoint, or one that you just want to watch for future betting purposes?
Two of the game. There are two games that I am very, very, very excited about. That Cincinnati-Cleveland game, and then Miami Chargers.
Yeah.
Those two, don't have bets on either one. I'm very, very excited to watch both of those. I mean, these are two teams in Miami and the Chargers that, had a ton of offseason steam, and I think rightfully so for both of those teams. Mm-hmm. I think both of them, whenever healthy, are going to be juggernauts on the offensive side of the ball. And then, of course, Cincinnati, one of the short shots to win the Super Bowl. And then what does Deshaun Watson actually look like? What does this team actually look like? Am I too high on this Browns team? Because in the offseason, I was saying, I think maybe they could be good so long as he can get anywhere close to where he used to be. So I'm going to be paying a lot of attention to that one.
Bro, we could talk for 2 hours.
I know,
appreciate it, man.
It's fun.
Matt Brown's headed to the gym, everybody. Thanks for stopping by.
Get that
by.
Pumping. You know.
Matt Brown.
Me, Gil, and the Fly
coming back from the handle right here. DK Network. Dan Lebatard is next. If you want more of this, we got college football talk on the other side. Stay tuned. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.